Yeah, I did already do that. Okay, I'm going to look just a little bit at some string functions and mainly just kind of mention them. And what did select font? So I defined a bunch of variables here, and then I did different functions down below. One of them is take a string and convert it to uppercase. Okay, and then right below it is take a string and convert it to lowercase. I'm in the built-in functions, and the one I'm looking at is string functions PHP, which I should have told you.
The new function group, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. No, function built in. Yeah. Function built in group, not the new one.
Okay.
This is left over from last time. And what I need to do now is put in the address. Because you'd think I'd put in enough stuff already.
And which one is it in the function?
String functions. Okay. Okay, so those are some of the results. So you can see that it converted hello world uppercase because I said convert second, and second is in lowercase. And now it's converted over to uppercase, and I did the reverse with string to lower. Okay, so I can convert cases, and again, this is a handy way to be able to compare things. When you've got a user typing in and you want them to be typing a certain case, it is far better to do a conversion of what they type into that case than to actually believe in them. Okay, so these are convenient and good to have. There is also a UC words, which gives uppercase to all of the words in something. So I had lowercase Bristol Community College, and I turned it into uppercase Bristol Community College. And then there's another one that is UC first, and that gets me just the first letter gets converted. So essentially, you have all of these different kinds of built-in functions. And I'm just looking at a few of them. You can go and check out a whole lot more if you just go for functions. This one has substring, so I'm saying take the field second and start with 6. And then down here I did a substring and said take the third, start with 8 and go for 9. Okay, if you don't put that third thing in, third parameter in, then it will take to the end. The 6 found the 6th spot, and it took from there to the end. You can get a string length doing string length. You can find a string's position. So I went in and looked for the position of the ampersign. Okay, so that will give me the position. The trim trims off spaces. So 7th, notice that I had all of those kinds of spaces in it, and it trimmed off the spaces and wrote them. But I wrote before trimming, and it's kind of interesting. If you take a look at this output, the before trimming looks like I trimmed, and that's because in HTML, it gets rid of everything beyond one space. But the interesting thing is that it actually sent down if you take a look at the source on that and scroll over far enough. Yeah, there it is. Before trimming. There it is, the before trimming. So it actually sent it down with all the spaces. It was when it got down that those spaces got lost. After trimming, trimmed before sending down. This one only got trimmed once it got down there, and then we trim off the extra spaces because we're only allowed to have one. So that's kind of an interesting one. Okay, and I think that we've looked at is set and explode and implode. And so those are basically just pointing out that there are a bunch of functions out there. And if you want to do something, you can go and do a search on functions in PHP and come up with, you know, how to do these things. But basically, if you want to do something and it looks like it's going to be complicated to do, I'd go see if somebody else has already done it for you and if you've got that out there. Math functions, if we look at those, they have a whole bunch of conversion things. So back in CIS 120, if you knew PHP, you can go and say, I want to do a conversion from decimal to binary, binary to decimal, hex to decimal. You can convert all over the place if you happen to want to do that. You also have rounding. Conversions, a lot of your conversions. The top one is ceiling and then floor, so that will give you the ceiling and then it will give you the floor. So the floor is the low point and the ceiling is the high point. So if you run that one, and what is this one called? Math functions. Okay, so the result of dividing 15 by 9 is 1.6666, and applying ceiling, it would be 2, and applying the floor, it would be 1. So 1.66, you know, goes up to 2, and the floor is 1. Okay, then you've got rounding down at the bottom. So if I look at rounding, that's the rounding. Okay, so I can round to a whole number and it gives me 34. And I can round and keep a certain number of decimal places. So I can round to a whole number. If I just put round in there, I'm rounding to a whole number. And if I put round, comma, 2, I round with 2 decimal places left. And if I wanted 5 decimal places, I can do round, comma, 5. Okay, so I can round and keep the number of decimal places that I want. Okay. So, essentially, those are some of the functions that we have available. And you can go and get date functions as well. I hate dates, so I didn't do those. But you can go look up date functions as well, and there's a whole lot of date functions so that you can extract parts of the date if you want parts of the date. Okay. So, essentially, those are just a brief comment on built-in functions. Okay. So now we're going to go and look at the other kind of functions, and that is functions that you write. Okay, so we have the two kinds of functions. We have the built-in functions that are provided by PHP, and then we have the functions that you write. And so that's the new group that I put up today, is the functions that you write. Okay? So, a very simple function is hello function name, and let me type in the address to try to get that one to show up. What is it called? Function group PHP. And the one I'm looking at is called hello func name.php. Okay. So what I've got there is a function, and the function is called say hello. And I am going to pass to the function a name. And I define the name here as Susan. So the function is showing down here. It starts out with the word function. It then says say hello. That's the name of it. And in the parenthesis is the information that you're passing to the function, which is the way functions work. It's enclosed in curly braces, okay? So you've got just like a loop, just like an if statement, you're using curly braces to designate the beginning and the end. And here I said echo hello, echo name, echo br, and I basically put them in three things so I'd have something to put into the function. Obviously, that could have been one echo, okay? And then I've got a comment there that says this is the end of the say hello, but you obviously don't have to put that in. That's just a comment that I put there, yeah.
I noticed that you have a variable named name, but in the function you have a parameter named name. I'm assuming that you it doesn't matter what, or not that it doesn't matter, but that you can reuse names for parameters, is that it?
Well, I mean, what I'm doing is saying here,
yeah,
I'm calling the function and I'm sending it name.
Right.
And it is receiving name.
Right.
Now, it could have been some other word there, and that would have been fine.
Right.
So if I wanted to call this names or something like that and echo out names, then if I run this, it will get me exactly the same thing because I've got, so it doesn't care.
Right.
I mean, so I've said here, do the say hello function, send it the variable name, and it receives it, and I had originally receiving it as name, but now I've changed it, so it's receiving it as names, and either way is fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it usually works in
yes,
in other languages.
Yeah. The only thing you will find about the difference in PHP functions is it gets far more particular about defining all of the variables or all of the things that it's using in the function as opposed to assuming global. The global doesn't work quite the same way as other things. But other than that, it's pretty much the same as the rest of the world. So, I have a bunch of these here that we don't really have to spend any time on. Actually, that one isn't worth. Let's see, the hello. This is just making the point that you can put it where you want. So here I have the function up at the top, and I reverse the things, and essentially it doesn't matter how I do this. Functions do not get executed on a drop-down basis. Okay, a function only gets executed when you say execute it. So when I said here, say hello, it then does the function. And in fact, I did the function three times. So this gets exactly the same output as the other one did. Okay, the difference here is I have the function up top and below, and the other one I have the function down below. But again, the function gets executed only when it's called, so it really doesn't matter. And I can't remember what variation I did there. Okay, this one is not passing anything. That's the variation I did. This one is not passing anything to the function, and that's fine. If you don't have anything to pass to it, that's fine. All I wanted the function to do is say hello world, and it says hello world. So in that case, I'm not passing anything to the function. But I still need the parenthesis, because that basically says that that's a function. So if you run this one, you will see that it just says hello world. And what's the name of it? Hello function. Okay. And all it does is say hello world. Three times. And since I didn't use any BRs, they're all in the same line. Okay, function return. This one was simply to point out how to use the return. Now, what I did on this one is I came in and I said, okay, I'm having a function. And when I call the function, I'm calling it down here and I'm sending all three things. And this one I sent different names again. So I'm sending first in, which is 12, I'm sending second in, which is 2, and I'm sending operation in, which is a slash, okay? And I'm sending all three. If you move this over a little bit, I think you'll see them all. There I go. Almost, okay. So I am sending them all. And then what I'm doing is, if operation equals a plus, I do one calculation, etc. So I have else ifs here, and if, else if, else. The last else is just plain else. Okay, so I'm checking to see what the thing was sent as operation. If they sent something illegal, it passed like it was a divide. Okay, because I have my last else doing a divide. So it's going to do a divide if I sent a question mark. Okay, it's going to end up doing a divide. Okay, so then I am printing out in three different places. And if you look inside, if I do the divide, I'm getting a echo first. Okay, so I'm getting the echo first, concatenated with a space, concatenated with operation, concatenated with a space, and so forth, going across. And I did that inside the else, so it only does it for a divide. Then I did it outside the if statement, but still within the function. And that's the second one. And then I returned answer. And answer is the third one. So the ones you see down there are the returned answer. If I put in here a concatenate with number one, and then I come down here and say I'm going to concatenate this with number two, And why don't I throw in a BR for good measure? Okay. And then I won't bother with the one down below. So if I do this and then run it. Hello. Oh, I didn't save. That would do it. Okay. Probably should have put a space number one and a space number two, but anyway. So you can see that this is the first one that comes out. This is the second one that comes out. And then the third one, it comes out after answer is returned. Okay, so I do a return of answer, and over here I said calculate, concatenated with whatever comes back. So answer comes back, and therefore displays. Okay, and answer is what? 6. Right? So answer comes back, and therefore displays at that point. So I concatenate with the answer that came back. Because I'm concatenated with what came back when the function was executed. Okay, so it went out and executed the function, and I'm concatenating with what came back, what was returned.
Can you only return one thing?
Yeah. She says with... I think you can only return one thing. In this case, I definitely could only return, because what else am I going to do there? Most functions, you can only return one thing, and I think I'm remembering right on this one. Okay? So, that gives me, and if I'm going to save this, I probably should put in the space there, because it will look a lot nicer with the space in it. Okay, now, the next one that I want to look at is I'm going to start out with package where PK, did I put a K? No, I put a J. PKG, weight function, oh no, it's gather function. .html, I think. Yeah. Okay, so this one is coming up, and if I look at it, it is simply putting up an HTML page, and the HTML page is asking me to put in how many pounds and how many ounces the package is. Okay. And the form action is it's going to go and do this PHP and send the pound and the ounces over with it. So if I put in 3 pounds, 5 ounces and click submit, it will bring up the next page and give the output. Okay? So, if I now look at that one, okay, and you can see what I've got there. I've got the weight in ounces is 53 ounces. And what did I do? I put in 3 pounds, 5 ounces, so 16, 32, 48, and 5 more is 53. So that's the right number of ounces. Then I did a routine that converted it to grams for the fun of it, and then I figured out the cost. So what I've got going on here is I also put in some JavaScript. And the JavaScript is the thing that is figuring out what the grams is. Okay? So I am printing out the weight, and then I'm going and doing the JavaScript. And that is giving me grams and a message, and then I'm saying document write message. Okay? So I went in here and did the JavaScript. So I'm saying echo out the JavaScript, and the JavaScript that I'm putting in there is to do the calculation to get the grams and the message. Okay, so I am then putting out that thing that I do a document write on. So that's incorporating a little JavaScript inside your PHP.
Could you have just done that in PHP?
Oh, sure. Okay. But I wanted to throw in JavaScript. Why? Just because. Okay, so yes, in fact, it would have been a lot more straightforward to have done that in PHP. But I decided to show you that you could actually throw in some JavaScript, and you can basically, so this program has, I guess I didn't put CSS in there, but it's got HTML, and it's got JavaScript, and it's got PHP. Okay, so then I went down, and I did a function to calculate the cost. So I said, if the weight is less than 17, okay, then that means we're going to charge them for a pound, and that's it. Okay, and so I've got my pound up there. The first pound is 1.5, $1.50, and every additional 4 ounces is another 50 cents. Okay. So if it's under 17, then it is the charge is going to be, the cost is going to be $1.50 for 1 pound. Else I said go calculate cost. So I'm going and doing the function to calculate cost. And this is where functions are a little bit different inside PHP for you who know other languages. What I'm doing here is telling them that I've got some global functions for them to use, but I have to give them the name. Okay, which is kind of bizarre. But anyway, I do. So I'm saying I've got work weight, first pound, every 4 ounces, work cost. And I'm just defining them here for you. And then I said, okay, work weight is work weight minus 16. So I'm subtracting the first pound. Okay. So we have that it's 53 ounces because we have that the weight is work pound times 16 plus work ounces. And so I put in 3 pounds, 5 ounces. So 3 times 16 is 48, plus 5 is 53 ounces. So that's what I've got, is 53 ounces. So now I come down here and I say work weight equals work weight minus 16. So I'm subtracting the 16. And I am getting what? 737, right? Somebody tell me I'm right. I was just standing there waiting. Okay, so now I'm saying, okay, that means that for work cost, I'm going to put in the $1.50 because I've already subtracted that first pound. So I'm charging them that first pound. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do a routine. Now, is there an easier and faster and better way of doing this? I'm sure that, absolutely. But I wanted to put a loop in, and therefore we're going to subtract as we go. Okay? We could have done a calculation and made this a lot easier, but we're going to subtract as we go. So I'm saying while work weight is greater than zero, work cost is going to be add 50 cents. So I go in there, I add 50 cents, and I subtract 4 ounces. And that gets me down to 33. And then I will loop back and I add another 50 cents and I subtract another 4.
29.
And that gets me to 29. And then I keep doing this until it's no longer, until this is no longer greater than 0. And as I said, there are definitely better ways of doing this, but then I wouldn't get to put a loop in. Okay? And basically I wanted to have pretty much everything in here, ifs, loops, and the whole business. So every time I add 50 cents, I subtract 4, and eventually I get to the point of I know what my cost is. Okay? And after I finish the function, I come back and I print out the word the cost is, and I print out cost. Okay, and costs kept growing, and I probably should have just shown that. That it started out at $1.50, then it went to $2, then it went to $2.50, then it went to $3, and so forth, as it kept going up. Okay. Well, that was clever. Oh, good, I got it back. Okay, so the cost is $6.50. By the time I go through that loop the appropriate number of times, the cost is going to be $6.50. Okay. Questions? All righty. Okay, the next one I want to look at is Git Process 1. Okay. Here what I'm doing is essentially gathering the information on the same page where I'm also going to display the information. Okay? So I've set up a form, and the form is calling itself. So I'm calling the same page. I'm calling itself. It's calling itself. So when I click, when I click on the button, it is going to call itself. Okay. So, I start out, and I did, in doing this, I did this pre and showed you the print R of what is posted. And we'll see the posting happening down here. But right now, nothing is posted. And so remember, printR shows an array of what's there. And so it's showing an empty array right now because nothing has happened. Now, obviously, if I were really running this, I wouldn't have that in there. But I have the pre and the printR in there just because I want you to see that there is an empty array there. Okay?
What is pre?
Pre is print in the format,
fixed format,
thank you. It prints it, if you do it in HTML, it prints it like with all the indenting that you've done and everything like that in there. And so it takes that kind of existing format and shows it.
So that would be like a debugging tool?
Yeah. Yeah, very definitely. I mean, and printR shows what's happening, and you'll see it in just a minute when I do the click. So I'm going to put in Susan, and she got an A. Okay? So I'm filling in those two, and now I'm going to click. Okay? And so when I click, the array now has the post array. The post array now has Stu name, it has grade, and it also has the click. So it has kept track of the fact that I did a click. Now the interesting thing is that if I now leave those two empty and I do a click, notice what I've got. Stu name is empty, grade is empty, but click has got the fact that I clicked. Okay? So that means that the post, because this is showing the post is not empty. Once I click, the post is not empty because it has the click in it. Okay? So right down below, I said, if the post is empty, if the post is not empty, sorry, and the post name is not equal to nothing. So in other words, I didn't want to just check and see if the post is empty, because if I click, I've got something in there, and so post isn't empty. I wanted to also make sure that Stu name had nothing in it. And so I'm saying, basically, do nothing if post is empty and Stu name is empty. Do nothing. So that's why the first time through, it did nothing. Okay, it hit that if statement, and there is no else on that if statement, so it did nothing. When it hit that if statement and there was something in here, then it generated that output. Okay. So again, if I now put in John, and we'll give him an A too, and I click, now I see John A and click, and I echo out the information. Okay, so I echo the hello, I echo out the student's name, and I echo out the grade. And then I set them back to a space. I cleared them out, basically. So you can see I'm clearing this out. Okay. So this is allowing me to take in the information. And I took in the information up at the top. And then once I clicked, I was inside. But it also means that when I run this for the first time, it has nothing there. Okay, there's nothing there because then, or as I said, the array, I would not have that in my code. I'm just having it to show. So the first time through, there is nothing there. But it brings up the form, and there is the form, and it's waiting for me to do something. Okay? So I fill in the form, and I hit the click. And at that point, it's not empty, the name is not empty, so it comes down here and says, take what is in the Stu name and put it into $StuName, takes what's in grade, put it into $grade, echo out Stu name, echo out grade, and then clear out the boxes.
Why did you have to clear out the boxes at the very end?
I didn't.
Okay.
I tend to do that. I tend to do what I want to do and then clean up after
myself. Sure. If you didn't, though, would the names come stay on the
form? Names would stay there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I take these and I comment them out. Hello? Right? Okay.
I think you accidentally put some text above the HTML.
Oh, yes, so I did. So where did I put that in?
Right above.
Oh, right, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good call. Okay, so now let's see what I've got. I actually want to just... Okay, so there it is. And I'm putting in Susan... and her A, and saying click.
Now, if you tried to put in another one while you're still on that page. Okay.
Okay, so apparently I didn't need that.
I mean, unless you... left the page or something and you reloaded it and it would still have the post information maybe.
But that would look fine, so. Okay, so why did it look fine?
Because I have a feeling that post sends different information each time or something, right? It doesn't save a history of, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but this is just my text box.
Okay.
Maybe it's a Firefox thing.
I haven't
responded to that.
That's interesting. I will try to remember to figure that out. Okay, the next one is the same thing, except I used get, just to show that you can use get. And it is exactly the same thing. Okay. And the third one, I have an edit here, and this time I only did... the empty. And actually, that would be, that would be a good thing to put in this one. Okay, notice I did a click there without putting any data in. And it went down and executed because it wasn't empty. The get wasn't empty. And then if I put something in... Actually, I want to take a picture of that before I put something in. Oh, I'm doing very well.
So if you don't want the hello and the student name student grade...
Right, you want to put that double thing in. And, you know, if I put in the name, but I don't put in the grade, then I've just gotten the name. And I'm not getting the things because I think I have post and get problem going on. So let me go back and look. This one had a post, and I've got a post down there. And this one has a post, no, a get. So I need to change this to get. Okay, if I want to see the results, it wasn't changing what I was showing because I had done the wrong thing there. Okay, so now I want to bring it back up. And click, and it is now going to show those kinds of things. Okay. And if I put in a grade and say click, it shows the grade without the name. And so what I picked was something that I wanted to have there in the other one and said that it had to not be empty and have a name. Okay. The main reason I'm showing this is because people tend to think if they haven't filled in the form that there's nothing there. But that click is something, and the click is held. And so that complicates life a bit. Okay, what I'm going to look at now is I can't remember which one I want to look at. Show binary or binary hex? I think it was binary hex. It doesn't much matter. And is that got exactly the same thing? No, that one's got that, and I wanted this one. So it's binary hex that I wanted. Okay. So if I run this, it's called binhextest.php. Okay. So I've got here, figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. Okay, so I'm going to convert to hexadecimal. Now notice what comes up when I first start out. I've got the figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. Okay? If you look at my code, you will see, and we'll talk about the code in a minute, but when I do the start, I am checking to see if I have an answer. And if I don't have an answer, then I am making the assumption that this is a first time. Okay? And so first time, I get that particular response. Okay, so now if I put in an answer, yep. If I put in an answer and say submit answer, it says yes, you got it. And so you can see that again, this point, there was something in my answer. If my answer equals real answer, yes, you got it. Real answer being the correct answer, my answer being what I put in. So if I put in for this one, 1, and click submit answer, I get the maybe next time. Okay. That's known as positive reinforcement. Okay. So I'm saying maybe next time. And so then I go through and submit answer. Yes, you got it.
It randomizes how many digits are there?
Yes.
Nice.
And so now convert to hexadecimal. So we've got a 3 going on, and eventually we'll get to... Okay, so now we've got a 8 and a 1, so we've got a 9. And I was going for, hoping I was going to get... Ah, come on. I want a letter.
So
There, I finally got in the letter. 8 and 4 is 12, so what is it?
Ace 10.
Yeah. C.
Oh, okay.
So I put in the C, and yes, you got it. What's this one?
That'd be F, right?
Yep. So, I can keep going on this forever, okay? So, this is binary to hex conversion. Okay.
Is there any way you could make it give you like a prize at the end?
I certainly could. I didn't, but I could have. Okay. So, to start out with, I said, these questions are to get something into my answer and get something into real answer. And we'll come back and look at those after we have gone through what's happening. Okay, so it's just another way of differentiating the first time versus other times is what I'm trying to do. So if we start looking at this code, I have a couple of if statements, and those if statements are really there, as I said, we'll look at them after we've taken in the data. But those if statements are really there to determine if it's the first time or not. And then I do the start check function. So there's the start check function. And it has global my answer, real answer, because those are the things that it's checking. So I'm telling it that I want the global my answer, real answer. And those are the things that it's going to be checking. And I had, as you just saw, three possibilities. If there is no answer for me, then it is figure out the hexadecimal. It's a brand new start. And actually, I should show you that. So if I just hit submit answer here, I get that. So it's not just the first time, it's also if I fail to give an answer. Okay, so I failed to give an answer there. So if there is nothing in my answer, as in I failed to give an answer or it's the first time, it says figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. If I give an answer, then it checks to see if I gave the right answer. And if I gave the right answer, it says you got it. And if I gave the wrong answer, it gives positive reinforcement of maybe next time. Okay? As opposed to some of the things that I see you all fill in when people get the wrong answer on things like the guessing games, etc., where you get downright insulting to that poor user. Okay, so I am giving my user positive reinforcement here. All right, so then the next thing I have is I say print binary. And then I say, get answer. Okay, so print binary. I have cards equals random 2, 4. I always want at least 2 cards to go up, the cards being those yellow things. And I want between 2 and 4. I don't want just 1. So, if cards equals 2, then I do the function call 2 cards. If cards equals 3, I do the function call 3 cards, and I have a function call 4 cards as well. Okay, so that's telling me how many cards I'm going to put up. So, then I come down to 2 cards. And I say, okay, I'm going to have 2 cards, so I've got choice 1 and choice 2. And choice 1 can be a random number in the 0 to 1, and choice 2 can be a random number 0 to 1. So that means that if I've got two cards, I can be putting out choice one and choice two. Are going to be the first card will be choice one, and the second one will be choice two. So I can have 0-0, 0-1, 1-0, or 1-1. Okay, with my two cards.
Four.
Four possibilities. So then I said, okay, now show binary choice one. And then I said, show binary choice two. So I'm going to the show binary function and taking choice one, which is either a zero or a one, and choice two, which is either a zero or a one. So there's show binary. And I said, okay, image source equals binary $ which. So I'm sending up choice. It's being stored as $ which. Okay. So, let me see if I can get. Yeah. Okay. Let me see if I can get that to actually show. Yes. Okay, so I'm saying show binary and send up choice one. So it's sending up choice one. It really can't be 10:30, all right. It is sending up choice one, and choice one is being received as $ which, okay? Just because I wanted to have a name there. I'm sending different things, choice one, choice two, and when we get to four cards, it'll be choice three or choice four. And I want to receive them as one thing. So I called it which. And then I said, okay, image source equals binary which dot ping. And so it will be either binary zero or binary one, because which is either a zero or a one. So this will become either binary zero dot ping or binary one dot ping. Okay, and I put a hyphen width on it. Okay. So if you go back to my page that shows this, you can see I have binary 0.ping and binary 1.ping are two images that I have. Okay, so here are my two images that I made someplace to paint or whatever. And those are my two images that I've saved there. Okay, so it's binary one or binary two. I mean, binary zero or binary one that's going to come up. Okay. So, at this point, I execute it twice. And I print. Okay, or I could have echoed. I print or echo either one of those. Now again, I'm using this thing that I can never remember the name of. Anybody remember it? I got to put that on the final so everybody will have to go up and look it up one last time. but since it's an open book final, it'll be easy. So what is the less than sign? I don't remember, but it basically lets you have a group of code. And remember that once you've started it, you have to stop it, and it has to be right up against the left margin when you do that. It can't be indented. It looks really weird that way. But that's because it has to be that way. Okay. So, I've now got them up there. And now I want to figure out what the real answer is. So I'm saying if choice 1 equals 1 and choice 2 equals 1, then I've got a 1-1 up there, so the real answer is 3. Else, I still know that choice one is a one, but choice two isn't a one, which means it's a zero. So I have 1-0, which is a two. Okay. Hexadecimal. Yeah, right. anybody else? Okay. Hexadecimal goes like this. We have decimals. Just so you'll have a vague idea what I'm talking about. Decimal goes 0 to 9. And hexadecimal is a base 16 numbering system. And it also goes 0 to 9, but then it has 16 digits, so it has to keep going. And so they said, okay, this will be A, so a decimal 10 is an A, a decimal 11 is a B, C, D, E, and F.
Unlucky number D.
Huh?
Unlucky number D.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, basically, and then we have binary, which is zero, if we look at the decimal, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Which is hexadecimal A, which is 1, 0, 1, 0. 11, which is 1, 0, 1, 1. Tell me if I get these wrong, anybody. 1, 1, 0, 0. 13 is 1, 1, 0. That's a 0. 1. 14 is 1, 1, 1, 1. No, 1, 1, 1, 0. And 15 is 1, 1, 1, 1. That's a 0. And those are, if you look at the hex, A, B, C, D, E, and F. Okay, so those are numbering systems. And I actually wrote this thinking I was going to use it sometime in my class where we teach numbering systems, and I ended up using it here. So anyway, that's what we're looking at, is when I put up the 1, 0, 1, 1, it is a B, and when I put up the 1, 1, 0, 0, it's a C. So that's... And if you care about the why, I'll explain the why to you sometime. But that's how we're coming up with the answers. Okay. Come on, close the ink, Leah. I guess it did close the ink, Leah. All right. So, if choice is 3 and 2, else. The else here tells me that choice 1 is a 0, and if choice 2 is a 1, then I've got 0, 1, which is a 1. Else, I've got 0, 0, which is 0. Okay? So, that's how I do 2 cards. Then, when I come down to 3 cards, it's basically exactly the same thing, except that I've got 3 choices. So I've got choice 1, choice 2, choice 3. I send each of them up to the binary. It comes back and goes up and puts up 3 cards now. And now I'm checking. If I've got 3 ones, then I've got a 7. Else, if I've got 2 ones and a 0, I've got a 6. And I basically keep going through this and figuring out what the real answer is. So my point here is to get the things up there and figure out what the right answer is. Okay? So I've got my figuring out what the real answer is, and then if it's four cards, I start getting into this, which is if you've got a one, and I gave up doing simple ifs and decided to compound for this one. If I get one and one and one and one, then it's an F. If I get 1, 1, 1, 0, it's an E. If I get 1, 1, 0, 1, it's a D. And so I've gone through and said, with the four cards up there, if I get 1, 1, 0, 1, then it's a D. And an A is 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay? So I went through and figured them out. There used to be one that was wrong, but I think I caught it. Yeah.
Is there a way to do a switch statement
in cases? Sure, you could do that too.
That would replace the if statements here?
If you wanted to.
I'd rather do that.
Yeah, no, you can do anything you want. So I went through all of those and came up with it. Okay, so now down at the bottom, I have the answer. And I'm saying global real answer. So I figured out real answer here. By putting global real answer, that means the thing that I figured out up there and call real answer is available to me down here. Because I've said it's global, so that means I can have it. And as I said, that's kind of a different way of doing this. Okay, so now I've got convert. I put out a header that says convert the binary to hexadecimal. My form method is post. I've got an input type that is text, name equals my answer value, and I've got the real answer is hidden. So notice type equals hidden means the real answer is hidden. But when I want to submit the answer, I want to submit my answer and real answer. Okay, so let's look again up at the top. What I do up before, well, not quite at the top, right here is where I want to look, is I said go do start check, and start check checks to see if this is first time, if you didn't put in an answer, or if you got the right answer. And the first time through, it's going to be first time. Then I go to do print binary. And print binary, and then I do get answer. So I first check and see if this is the first time through or if it's got an answer. And that's what I do in start check. Then in print binary, okay, and so the first time through, it will put out the, figure out the decimal, and it won't even compare the answer because it knows there aren't any. Okay, because there's nothing in my answer. Then I go down and I do print binary. Now, print binary has a bunch of subroutines under it. Print binary either does two cards, three cards, or four cards. Okay, so I've got a print binary function, which is going to execute either the two cards function, the three cards function, or the four cards function. So it goes and executes one of those functions. And those functions execute the show binary function. Okay? So I've got a series of functions doing functions doing functions here. So it's going and doing the show binary function. Then after it's got everything up there, then I am doing get answer. And get answer is basically looking at what I key in right here at that form. Okay, it's got a form and it's got a place for my answer. So what I key in here is my answer. It's got a hidden place for real answer. And the reason that I've got real answer there is that I need to send it up. When I say submit answer, I need to send both my answer and the real answer up for the checking. Okay? And so I've got real answer. Now I say, take that global real answer that I just calculated and hide it. Don't let them see it, but when you hit the submit button, send it up. Okay? So don't let them see it, but when you hit the submit button, send it up. Okay? So my answer is going to then be taken and brought up to the top. And at this point, I am checking to see that I've gotten my answer, and I'm checking to see if I've got a real answer. And then I am going to put the my answer that just got sent up in dollar sign my answer, the real answer that just got sent up in dollar sign real answer, and then I am going to immediately do stat check, which will check to see. So since I just sent up an answer, hopefully it's going to take the else here and is going to say, is my answer equal to real answer? If it is, you got it. Otherwise, you didn't. And that says we're out of time.
Okay. I have a quick question. So when you do that form, oh wait, that's a function. And you don't have an action on the form?
It defaults to going to the back to the same page.
Cool.
So we are done, I think. The clock says we are.